Hey friends, this is Fun Therapy, and my name is Mike Foster. And together we're going to dive into the messy and imperfect and brutal but beautiful parts of our lives and our stories. And we do it all with a smile and with hope. I love what Fred Rogers, otherwise known as Mr. Rogers, once said. He said this: when we can talk about our feelings, they become less overwhelming and less upsetting and less scary. And that's what he did on his television show. He reminded us that we are not alone. He reminded us that no matter how tough we may act, that really all we want is to be known and to be loved. And in his unique and special way, Mr. Rogers reminded us that despite all the brokenness and sadness and heartache in the world, it can be a beautiful day in the neighborhood. My name is Mike Foster, and this is Fun Therapy. Well, friends, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being a part of the Fun Therapy community. I'd love to connect with you on social media if you're on social media. I use Instagram quite a bit. My name is MikeFoster2000 on Instagram. You can call me MikeFoster2000 in public too if you want. I'll probably respond to it. But I'm MikeFoster2000 on Instagram. And I love seeing your comments and seeing the podcast tagged in your posts and your Instagram stories. That's really cool. It's also really cool just leaving reviews on iTunes about this podcast. And I thought I'd read a couple because they're just really, really nice and kind. And this one review that was left this week says, Fun Therapy proves that not all gifts have a pretty bow on top. And that's really true. There is a lot of messiness in life and not everything comes with a nice bow on top. But I love that. I love that thought. And also Lexi Lou 34, she left this review. She said, it's like soup for my soul. And she says, there's just something so comforting in hearing that you're not the only one who's broken, guilt-ridden, or just tired. And that's really the point of Fun Therapy, is to know that you're not alone. And Lexi Lou 34, I'm glad that it's like soup for your soul. Maybe tomato soup or clam chowder. I'm not sure what kind of soup it is, but hopefully it is comforting. And it's comforting to know that you guys are here, that you're listening, that it's meaning something to you and your story as we all sort of figure out life. So make sure to subscribe. Make sure to leave a review and a comment and a rating. All that good stuff really helps the podcast. I mean, we're almost halfway through now of season two and really beginning to start to think about what's next. And you know, those numbers and the subscriptions, it is important at the end of the day in terms of some of the decisions that we're making. So thank you in advance. I also want to tell you about my new paperback book that just came out called You Rise Glorious. It's actually a book that I wrote a couple years ago that was titled People a Second Chance, but it's now out in paperback, just came out, and I've added some new content to it, some new doodles, and it's called You Rise Glorious. It's really about how to embrace your second chance. The tagline, by the way, is a really long tagline, but it's really clear. And so if you want to know what the book is about, here's the tagline. It's just You Rise Glorious is the name of the book. A wild invitation to live fierce, free, and unstoppable in a world that tries to break you, shame you, and tell you that you're not enough. The nice thing about the book is when you buy the paperback version of the book, you get a free e-course that I filmed, almost an hour long e-course where I actually give you four steps to really embrace your second chance, to how to live powerfully and strong and with confidence in a world that is often trying to stop you and tear you down and tell you that you're not enough. And so I think you'll really enjoy both the paperback version of You Rise Glorious and also the free e-course, and the code's inside the book, and it'll tell you how to get the e-course when you buy the book. And yeah, it's available at Amazon or wherever books are sold. On this episode of Fun Therapy, my friend Heather Avis joins me, and Heather is the mother of three adopted children, two with Down syndrome, and she is the author of the book The Lucky Few, which is a wonderful book. She is an advocate for Down syndrome children and families, and she has a wildly popular Instagram account called Macy Makes My Day. And in this episode, we process a serious setback that she had with her daughter, Mason, who has Down syndrome, and Heather's fight for inclusion. This is a special and important conversation about the dynamics of motherhood, advocacy, and the loneliness that goes with the battle. And now this session of Fun Therapy with Heather Avis.
This year, and I've been asking for these things since first grade, and it's been very slow moving. They've thrown things at me to kind of pacify me, that threw me and confused me and just prolonged the timeline. So last week, I just reached my max. Mason had a bad day on Thursday, and that meant that her behaviors were inappropriate, and when she is refusing to do work, then she's not given the opportunity to learn. And I just don't believe the supports are in place for her to be successful. So I don't believe people are doing their jobs well. And it feels as though it's all on me. Every bit of it is on me. And my husband is a great support system too, or on Macy. And the thought of her sitting in a classroom where everything is hard for her all day long, and then being looked at, being looked down upon or being reprimanded for behaving poorly because she can't do the work that they're giving her to do. I've just had enough. And there's a lot more to it. It's very complicated. But I've had enough. I've had enough with the system, specifically school, but it goes way beyond school, in which a kid who does not function the way in which the system is created for has no place. Or has a separate little corner. It is, our schools in California are still segregated. There's still segregation, but we're dealing with a population of people with different abilities that's so small that really the world fully ignores it. And I'm done. I'm just done. So there's school, it's extracurricular, it's church. I mean, I love the church, and the church is failing the special needs community because we don't create space for them to be exactly who they are. We do these separate programs or don't even realize that our churches don't have people with different abilities in them, right? Like to our right and our left, where are they? So I'm fed up.
It sounds like a really kind of crescendo last week on a very long journey of frustration and issues with the bureaucracy of all of it, mm-hmm. right? What's going on in your heart right now as you just kind of like, feels like there's last week and now there's today, and you're kind of like, what are you feeling inside?
Right. Last night, my daughter went to a dance class, and she's been a part of this dance school here in our community that's really been incredible. She's the first kid with Down syndrome to be a part of it. And the dance instructor was real honest. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, me neither. Let's figure it out. And as it is with the majority of places my daughter steps into, she's different, right? She's a different kind of dancer. But we're making it work. But where my heart, I was leaving dance class yesterday because when you're always the different person in the room, it's very lonely and very alienating and heavy. And so my heart is so burdened today, and more so than it's been in a while. I feel like I watch her through the glass. There's a glass door for the class she's in, and I watch her dancing, and I don't see, while she's allowed to be there, and I know everyone, I really do believe everyone's doing the best they can with what they know. The problem is they don't know Down syndrome, And that's what we're trying to do is say, no, here's this amazing thing. And I think that people are drawn to the things in which that are familiar and therefore comfortable. And that there's nothing wrong with that. I'm the same way. People want to be around what they understand and know, because when we're not, it stretches us and makes us have to even question where we stand. And it's hard. It's harder to do that, to be around people who are different and in situations that stretch us. So I just like watched my little girl dancing, doing her very best. And then all the little 9 to 12 year old girls in between breaks, like circle up together, and Macy's just not a part of those circles. And she never has been, and she may never be. And so it feels heavy. And then we go to school and it's the same thing, and at church and it's the same thing. And I mean, my conversation yesterday with my husband was like, I don't know if I can keep holding this by myself with him, right? We are for sure a partnership here, but it's all just heavy. It's all just really heavy.
What feels the heaviest for you? What piece of the picture that you're looking at?
I feel really alone. Yeah. Here come the tears. That feels the heaviest. I feel alone and misunderstood and just unknown. I feel unknown. And I know that Macy does too, in her own way. And that as a mom, it's like, oh, I don't want her to feel that too.
Have you ever felt like you were in this vast wilderness of life, screaming for someone to help, crying out for someone to see you, to know you, and to listen? And yet the world just goes on and your cries for help are ignored. What a lonely place this must be. And so as Heather fights for inclusion, for acceptance, for her precious Mason, her words, all the meetings, all the requests, her going above and beyond for someone to finally see her. There's this warrior mom fighting for the world to finally see the gift that Mason is and that all Down syndrome children are. And to be asking for the basic human dignity of being seen and included. How lonely it must feel when our voice cries out, no one really hears us. And so I ask Heather this question.
What's shutting your voice down? Like, where do you feel like I'm saying things? And obviously with the school system, but like, what is it that you want them to know or that isn't being heard that you feel like you're saying over and over again?
I have a saying that we've adopted within our like social group of shout their worth. And even instead of referring myself to as an advocate, I refer to myself as a shouter of worth. And so I want people to see the worth and value of a person with Down syndrome. And there's just power in proximity and power in relationship. The thing I think tripping it up the most is systems that have been in place forever and ever and ever. And that is a bigger beast than relationship even. But I like to believe, and I may be naive in doing so, that those relationships that are one at a time are going to be the thing in which we see a shift in the system. I'm not good at politics. I'm not good at understanding law. And there are those things that would be very powerful in shifting the Down syndrome narrative, but I don't know how to do that. What I do know is 10 years ago, when I set out towards being a mom, I never expected to have a kid with Down syndrome. And she entered our life, and it has been the gift of my life. And I know more about humanity and the goodness that can exist within humanity. And I know more about God, and I know more about myself and what it means to live life in a worthy way because of Down syndrome. So there's just a lot of misunderstanding. And I think that, I mean, if you look at the termination rate in 2018 for people who get an in utero diagnosis, it's staggering. And in the United States, it's as low as 60%, as high as 90%. Other countries are just bragging at the fact that they have eliminated Down syndrome from their population. So in 2018, humanity as a whole does not see the value and worth in Down syndrome and people with Down syndrome. And those are my kids. So that to me is infuriating and overwhelming and has just become like a call on my life that I'm so thankful to get to step into and shouting their worth. But there are few people doing it in terms of like percentages of people in the world. And so it's a really lonely space to be in. Yeah.
What's the, describe the loneliness for me, for you. Like what, obviously like maybe yesterday at the dance class, mm-hmm. just kind of seeing the girls huddle up and just watching Macy not be included in that huddle with mm-hmm. the girls and just sort of what feels the deepest kind of heartbreak and loneliness in terms of your day or in terms of this season right now?
I think that it is even something as simple as when I'm dropping Macy off at school, which she didn't go today, but I just think looking at the parents doing the same thing, like nobody gets it. And there is that truth and reality that you can't know what you don't know. And I recognize that. So it's not even that I fault people for it, but you can't know what you don't know. And until you know that, and you only know that by experiencing it, by living through something, then they can't relate. And it even goes into like friendships. You know, some of my closest friends who are doing life with me day in and day out, I can't call them and talk through this with them because they don't know. They don't have a kid with Down syndrome. Yeah, that feels really lonely. And I instantly start to think like, well, how do we fix that? And I don't know that it is for fixing. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, or I don't know.
Do you feel just this deep desire to be understood and to be almost like Macy, mm-hmm. to be known as like the brilliance that she is and the amazing human being that she is? Like there is a sense of like, even with you going like, I wish somebody just knew.
Mm. Yeah. It's exactly it. There are a lot of familiarities between what Mason is experiencing and then how I'm experiencing that in a sense. I mean, not even to the extreme that she does every day, in wanting to be known and understood. I think we all want that, right? We all want to be known and understood and appreciated. And I think that, like, when I think of Macy, I think I just want people to see her and see her worth and to be excited about who she is and not to want to change that, not to like start to create plans in which we make her less Down syndrome or, I don't know, more like everybody else. And I don't want to be more like everybody else or try to fit into the systems in play. But I think the thing that my husband and I have definitely come to grips with is when you are striving to help a minority be embraced fully and seen as valuable, you have to step into the majority places and it's lonely there because they don't understand and most of the time don't want to hear. And the work that we're doing within the Down syndrome community and for people with different abilities, and I mean, really, it's just for my kids, right? And we're glad that there's a trickle effect and it is a bigger picture thing. But there aren't a lot of people doing that work. And going back to like people want to be around what they know and what they're comfortable with. It's like trying to convince others that this work is important.
I love the warrior inside of Heather, the fighter for the underdog, the shouter of worth. But all this comes at a cost, doesn't it? The cost I'm sure Heather and her husband Josh never thought they would have to pay. I imagine in your life, there are days where you say to yourself, I never thought it was going to be this hard. I never knew the cost would be so high. And it is in these moments when the warrior inside of you is weary that you must find a place to rest, a place to feel safe, a place to heal and replenish. Every warrior, every fighter, every shouter of worth needs a place like this.
What does it look like for you, Heather, just to belong? And not necessarily fit in, because I don't think that's what you're saying.
Right.
It's like, I mean, don't become more like everybody else, but for you to belong like in this space and in this world right now.
I think, unfortunately, that there are only a few spaces that that can happen. I think that's the conclusion I've come to. That because we're not willing to fit in, because we're not saying we're gonna bend backwards to make sure that we make the whole world comfortable and we're just like everyone else, that there are just a handful of places that can offer like a respite or a comfort or a... there are a handful of places where I can go and where Macy can go and we can just be. And it's taken me recognizing where those places are and carving out time to be in those places. So even this morning I said to my husband, because we've had this conversation before, and there, those places are very few. There are very few spaces like that. And I said, maybe we need to carve out space more often to be there, because I'm feeling really weary right now. And the battle's just beginning, you know, like we are in the middle of it. I mean, it began a long time ago, but it is not ending anytime soon, I think is the way to say that. And so we need to find where those places are, and which we know where they are. But I think we need to be more intentional in carving out time to be there. And it's just the reality of choosing to do the work that we're doing. We're not going to belong in a lot of places. And we recognize that. But there are places in which we do.
So tell me about, for you, what is that place that you've identified? And how do you feel in that place?
The first place that always comes to mind is my parents' house. And my parents are people who are safe in the sense that my kids can be exactly who they are. And I don't have to be kind of like on guard when I step into public with my kids. I mean, all three of my kids, because my middle daughter, who doesn't have Down syndrome, we're all just a hot mess, right? Just barely making it through life. And but when we step into places, I'm like, I have to be on is the best way I can describe it. I feel like my shoulders are up a little bit. I'm very aware of what's happening around us, because my daughter with Down syndrome might decide to flop and drop in the middle of the ground in a grocery store or in a park, and then what? The way in which she responds to the world, especially under stress, is considered unacceptable or inappropriate. So if I can be in a space where she can respond however she's going to respond, and we all just... like, whatever, you know? So my parents' house, and it's a house I grew up in, so it is like a space that is sweet. Going somewhere, just the five of us as a family, to a beach or something, where we still will have those instances in public, but we can avoid them if we need to. Yeah.
It feels like when you said kind of when you're in public spaces, like the shoulders back, that you're there to... like you're almost in a battle, in a fight against something. And maybe it's a system or an idea or people's judgment about what your kids may or may not do in a grocery store. I would imagine just kind of that level of having to be prepared or ready to engage whatever it might be at any moment is just... has an exhaustion to it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly spot on. And it goes in waves. And so just the thing that has been happening in the school that we're talking about, we've just been pulled under a very strong wave. And sometimes we're riding above them. It's always there and it's always exhausting. But there is a point where it's like, I can't breathe and I'm drowning and I got to get out of here.
Do you feel that way now?
I do right now with the school. Yeah, I do. And then that with the school, and then I notice everything else around us. And it all feels impossible and hard. Yeah.
Do you feel just with the things that happened last week with the school and maybe just the exhaustion, do you feel like give yourself a number of like 10 being, hey, I'm like fully energized on life and life is awesome. I don't think any of us ever get there to like a 10 and a 1 being just feeling kind of hopeless and despair. Where do you think you're at right now?
That's a great question. Oh gosh. I feel like I'm maybe a 2 or 3. It's affecting everything. Like I'm working on some projects right now and I just don't want to do any of it. And it's not like me. This isn't usually where I go. So I know that something has to change, but I also think part of it is in the next couple weeks to come, there are so many meetings that are going to take place and so much preparation that I have to do for those meetings. And the preparation I'm doing is to sit in front of a group of people and say to them, my kid's worth it. And they're all saying back to me, no, she's not, you know? They would never say that out loud. They would never believe that. But we all know actions speak louder than words a lot of the time. So I'm like at a 2. Yeah.
2 with a a battle ahead.
Right.
Not just a normal day. You're actually going into a war, an engagement where it's going to require everything from you.
Yeah, it feels that way right now.
One of the most important things we can do when we're in a battle and have been fighting that battle for a while is to actually assess where we're at. Step back from the chaos of the war and to see our bullet wounds. But warriors rarely want to look because they're called to fight, right? And the idea of healing and replenishment and self-care must come later. The thing about Heather is that she's smart and she's honest. And for her to own her too is so important. Say it, to honor it. This is really critical to identify when the fight that we're in is not slowing down, but actually ramping up like it is for Heather. And so to assess where we're at, be honest where we're at, to recognize and honor our wounds. And so as we continue this conversation, I want you to think about where you're at right now. What number would you give yourself? What battle wounds have you ignored for too long?
We have a social media account, and that is actually, I know that social media has been a very dangerous thing for a lot of people. In terms of the Down syndrome community on social media, it is just really incredible. Mm-hmm. And last week on Thursday, I had posted something about like, go hug a mom who is working on an IEP because you have no idea the amount of hours we put in I don't want to always be throwing my school under the bus and people who go to my daughter's school follow us on social media. And so I don't want to talk badly about the teachers, especially because, again, everyone's doing the best they can with what they know. Most everybody is. Her teachers are very lovely. Again, it's like systems and the bigger powers that be. But I had just a lot of people on Instagram reach out to me, and then I had made a comment about I'm ready to just go to a place where only people who love people with Down syndrome are allowed. And someone commented on Instagram, well, this is that place. Like, this is your place for that. And it actually made me tear up because I didn't even think of it that way, but it does feel that way. That this little tiny like Instagram account, it's all these people all around the world like over 100,000 people who are just saying, we love your kid, you know? I don't know what your question was. I feel like I went off on a tangent there.
Well, just the sense of, it sounds like being known about the...
Do people know where I'm at? So I'm truthful and transparent to a fault sometimes, I think, but I prefer transparency. And so I am with my Instagram community in a way that, like, part of me wants to be like, it's just Instagram, roll my eyes. But I also have people reaching out to me. Like, someone just said, sent me a message, someone in Paris that said that they were pregnant and they were no longer afraid that they might have a child with Down syndrome because they followed our account, and that the doctors did the initial testing and said, if it comes back positive for Down syndrome, we'll do further testing, and then you can terminate if it's positive. And the woman's like, there's no way I would terminate a pregnancy because my child has Down syndrome. She said, I can only say that because of you guys. And so it's like this tiny little Instagram thing, but there's this powerful thing happening with it, and that I do feel a sense of there is a place I can go and say, hey, I'm feeling this way. And there are a lot of people who will say, I've felt that way also because they have a child with Down syndrome or a child with different ability. Or we're here for you, even if I don't even know their first name because I only know their Instagram handle. So it's weird.
Do you think, just out of curiosity, because there's that dynamic of you're such a force of support for others and such a voice of you know, encouragement and hope for, you know, the mom in Paris. Is it, do you feel like, in terms of just what you project as a leader, as a voice, as, you know, someone who wants to be in the battle and be a positive force in the battle, that somehow you need to be a 5 versus a 2?
I don't think so. Because what people want, and I know what I want, is to know that someone is a 2. And to say, oh, you're not alone in this. I think people find more comfort and then power to say, okay, we got this, you know? Whereas if I'm walking around like, oh yeah, this, you know, we're doing so good and this is hard, but we got it. Then I think that alienates people who are feeling like they're a 2. And we have to be honest about where we are and the thing, especially when we're doing hard work and we're dedicating our lives to like a sacred hard work. We have to be honest about where we're at in those places, or the work loses its value, I think. And then you can question, why am I doing this? Or why is this person doing this? Or why should I trust her if she's not being totally honest with me?
So tell me more about the honesty of being a 2 right now.
Can you explain the
feelings, the thoughts that run through your head, and not so much about the big stuff, but just the stuff that hits Heather, you know, like
for me. Yes. Okay. For me, when I'm feeling that way, I want to do nothing. That's kind of where I want to go. I want to shut down. Like, I want to lay on my couch and watch movies with my kids all day. And I want to do nothing in the sense of, I don't really want to parent well. Like, I don't want to deal with 6-year-old drama issues, and I don't want to give my kids a bath. Like, that's where I'm feeling. I just want to do nothing.
So just kind of a resignation and checking out.
That's how I feel in my heart and my head. I don't do that. So I'm thankful that I can feel that I want to do that way, but I know the right thing to do.
I've done enough, and your golden child grew up. Maybe this trophy isn't real love, and with or without it, I'm good enough. Maybe I've done enough. Finally catching up. For the first time I see an image of my brokenness. utterly worthy of love. Maybe I've done enough.
It's not really a choice to check out. Like I mentioned, I have just the most incredible husband. And so on Thursday, the kids go to dance class, and the girls do. And he came home from work early and showed up half an hour early and took all three kids and just left. And I love to be in the kitchen, and I love to cook if I can do it like for fun and not just for needy little children. And so he just left, and I had just an hour and a half to do whatever I wanted. And he said, do whatever you want in this hour and a half. So I can check out in certain areas, and I have people like my husband who can give me the space to do that. But the, like, I want to hop in my car and drive to the beach and never leave, and we're just going to sit there for the next 20 years. And people can just work it out. It's just not an option. And when it really comes down to it, I don't want to do that. I really believe in the work I'm doing, and I believe in my kids, and I believe that the world is better for them. The world is better off because of them. And I would like to see that. I think right now we're living in a really powerful and important time in the Down syndrome narrative. And there's things happening, like the new Gerber baby has Down syndrome. There's people going to college who have Down syndrome. There's colleges all over the United States that have programs for people with Down syndrome. And things like 20, 30, 40 years ago, people were told to institutionalize their kid. And today, those of us who are choosing to parent our kids are saying, could you even imagine a doctor saying that? And I think in 30, 40, 50 years, people are going to look back to this day and age and say, remember when kids with Down syndrome weren't allowed, like were put in separate classrooms? Can you even believe that that happened? I think the Down syndrome narrative is shifting in a greater way now, in the last couple of years and in the next few years to come. So that makes me think, that gets me excited. Yeah. That makes me feel like this is really important work, and the history books are going to look back.
So you buffer the feelings of resignation that come at the when you're at a two with letting your heart and your mind think about the hope of what could be if you stay engaged.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And even just those little stories, like the woman in Paris and the comments that I get from people all over the world about how they got a new diagnosis and they're no longer terrified, or they're choosing to adopt and they're going to adopt a kid with Down syndrome. Those kinds of things. It's like, I feel alone, and I feel like, is anyone listening? This is all the worst in the whole world. And then I get a comment. It's like, whoa, it is worth it for that one. It's worth it for that one.
Because I would think for you, the part of the loneliness comes when it feels like the battle that you're fighting isn't making a difference or doesn't matter. And it's just, I'm hitting the same wall over and over again with the bureaucracy or with the school system. But to have that little source of light or that story come in that says, no, this matters, Heather.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think that when we set out to do a big thing, and that big thing is only noticed by a few people, then it does feel a little bit like, what am I doing here? And I think a lot of us want to do this big sacred work that is noticed by all, and like the whole Me Too movement and something like, well, the work I'm doing is important. Why can't it be that? Or why can't it be this big movement or this big church thing, or this Yep. person who's just like me is doing this great thing? And being reminded that the work that I'm doing and the work that people are doing within their space is important and sacred work. And it's not more important if it's known. And it's not more important if it's popular. It's important because it's the work you're supposed to be doing.
Thank you, Heather, for sharing with us. Wow, that's powerful stuff, my friends. There are times when I sit with people and they just ooze integrity and strength and passion, and Heather is one of those rare people who just, it was so wonderful to be able to talk with her and hear from her story and her heart. You can connect with Heather in a bunch of different ways. You go to her website at heatheravis.com, heatheravis.com. And she's also on Instagram. You can follow her amazing account, Macy Makes My Day. It is so inspiring, and I love it. I follow that account, and it just brings joy and a smile to my face every day. Her book, The Lucky Few, incredible book. Go get it right now. It's on Amazon. And I love what the author, the New York Times bestselling author, Ann Voskamp, said about Heather's book. She called it a page-turner, a hope-giver, a life-changer. Lucky are those who read these pages. And I could not agree more. Go check out her book, The Lucky Few, available at Amazon or wherever books are sold. Also, make sure to connect with me on the old Instagram. So first follow Macy Makes My Day and then Mike Foster 2000 on Instagram, or you can hop over to my website at mikefoster.tv. And if you're enjoying Fun Therapy, make sure to subscribe. Again, hit that click button that says subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Tell your friends, tell everybody that you know that there's something really fun and wonderful happening over here in this neck of the podcast world. I want to also say thanks to Sleeping At Last. Ryan, you're amazing. Thank you for providing the music for this episode. You can connect with Ryan at sleepingatlast.com. Fun Therapy is a proud member of the Relevant Podcast Network. Yes, we are. And thanks again, friends, for listening. And remember, no matter what has happened in your story, that your setbacks can become your superpowers, and honesty is always the best policy. We'll see you next time on the Fun Therapy Podcast. I'm Mike Foster.
Relevant Podcast Network.